chapter 5. So the New Testament, the second half of the Bible, it begins with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I want to read in the Gospel of John, and John chapter 5. It's no secret that I like preaching with Mr. Sharp, because when I listen to him, I get ideas about what I want to preach about. And last night, when I heard him preaching about Samuel, I thought about the verse I'm going to read. What I didn't know was that 2 minutes before I got up, he was going to quote it. But that's okay. Actually, that's a good sign in gospel meetings, because it shows that the Lord has some things that he wants you to hear. And I'm very confident in that. John chapter 5 and verse 24. John chapter 5 and verse 24. And Mr. Sharp has already explained what these first two words mean. It's God saying, I'm telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. I say unto you, he, or the person that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, that is, believes God, has everlasting life. And Mr. Sharp didn't quote the last half of it, but we'll read it. Shall not come into judgment, condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Let me just read the center of the verse again, because I want to talk about three things that are here, and I want you to learn them and remember them if you can. He that hears my word and believes God has everlasting life. The three words I want to talk about at the end of the meeting are just really simple. I want to talk about hearing what God has to say. And secondly, I want to talk about believing or depending on what God says. And last of all, I want to talk about having what God promises. Now that's really simple. And I hope if I ask you tomorrow night, I hope you can remember these things. We're going to talk about hearing, and we're going to talk about believing or depending, and we're going to talk about having. You know, I have been reading the Bible for a long time, almost likely over 60 years now, I've been reading from this book. And there's something that appeals to me from the time that I was just little, even before I was saved. But it appeals to me a lot more now, and it's just this. I am absolutely amazed that the God of heaven actually wants to talk to you and me. You know, last night we were talking about the mayor, I've already forgotten his name, of Fairlawn. And he doesn't want to talk to me. He would like me to vote for him, but he doesn't want to talk to me. And Mr. DeWine, who's the governor of the state of Ohio, he doesn't want to talk to me. I've been watching my phone all day, and Mr. DeWine has just left me all alone. He doesn't want to talk to me. You know what amazes me is that God wants to talk to you and me. You know, I'm nobody special. I was born many years ago. I grew up in a little village in Michigan that nobody's ever heard of. Grew up out in the country in a little farmhouse in a family whose name had no significance or influence in the community. I'm a nobody. And I'm still amazed. I just want to be amazed. I want to have the hair stand up on the back of my hand when I think about it. That God wants to talk to you and me. You know, the interesting thing about God speaking to us is not only that he wants to talk to us. Last night, the thing that really triggered my thinking was, Mr. Sharp, do you remember when he was talking about the boy Eli? You know, you'd have thought that if God was going to talk, he would talk to the priest, Eli, and he wouldn't pay
talk to Sammy. So when I come to this meeting tonight, I'm grateful that God wants to talk to you. And people in Washington don't know your names, and they don't care. But God knows you, and He knows me. And He wants to talk to us. And you know, it's not only that He wants to talk to us, He actually talks to us over and over again. Do you know there's a verse in the Bible? I love this verse. It says, God speaketh once, yea, twice. And people don't hear it. Isn't that amazing? So God doesn't simply come along once in a person's lifetime and tap them on the shoulder. Certainly that would be an act of incredible grace if God spoke to us once. And yet God speaks to us over and over again. You know, I'm amazed at the way that God speaks to us. I think you know that the way that God speaks to us primarily today is He speaks to us through this book. Do you know that that's why, at the beginning of every message, Mr. Sharp stood up tonight and said, open your Bibles, we're going to read. And when I got up, I said, let's read together in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Why did we do that? We did that because the important part of the meeting is not the message. Did you know that? Now, I'm not trying to insult Mr. Sharp at all, and he wouldn't be insulting me, but we agree on something. The most important part of the meeting is what we read out of this book. We're here to try and help you, and we're here to try and explain it, but that's not the important part of the meeting. The important part of the meeting is hearing what God says through His Word. You know, it's amazing how God speaks through His Word. I'm going to tell you a story just really briefly. I don't think I've told this here before. It just happened a year or two ago. My son lives in Boston, and he has a man who works for him, a stockbroker that works for him, and they know each other pretty well. And one day, Stuart came into my son's office, and he said, I have terrible news. He said, my father has just passed away, and he said, it would mean a lot to me if you would come to New York City with me and come to the funeral of my father. Just be there for me. And I don't know why there weren't other people to do that. That's not relevant to the story. He just asked my son to come. So my son began to ask a few questions about his father. This is what he discovered. His father was a very famous psychiatrist and psychologist, I guess, in the city of New York. He was a very famous man. He taught at Harvard University. If you know anything, that's, your eyebrows did just what mine did. He taught at Columbia University. He was often quoted in the news. He was interviewed. He was in the New York Times. He was a very, very famous man. Only one thing. He was an atheist. He did not believe that God existed. At least he said he didn't. And he didn't have any time for the Bible, for the Word of God. And really, to him, God was just something that people had made up. And one day, he went to the doctor, and he discovered that he had cancer. And the doctor gave him a certain number of months, and he said, we cannot treat you, but at the end of this time, you're going to die. The man did some wise things. He began to wrap up his life. He finished some articles he was writing. He did some last interviews for a book that he was working on. And he began to plan his own funeral. There was one thing that he struggled with, and that was, who should speak at my funeral? Now, this is a man that knew everybody in New York, actresses and actors and famous people and politicians and people that you see on TV every day. He knew them all. Who is he going to have to speak at his funeral? To the amazement of his family, he came home one day, a few months before he died, a few weeks before he died. He said, I have found the man who is going to take my funeral. They said, who is he? He said, well, the funny thing is, I really don't know very much about it. He said, he says he's an evangelist, a gospel preacher. And he said, there's just something about him that makes me think that he would be the very best person to speak at my funeral. going to speak at my funeral. My son was at that funeral. In a large room on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people who came to that funeral. Dan said if you looked around the room, you knew the names of half the people there. There were famous people that you recognized from the news or the newspaper or TV. And a man stood up. He read a text. It comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. And this is what it says. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And for 30 minutes, that man preached the gospel. My son said it was the most amazing meeting he's ever been in. He said for 30 minutes, nobody moved. He said nobody looked at their phone. Nobody even looked at their watch. People were absolutely glued on the power of a man who stood up. And maybe for the first or the only time in their life, listened to God speak to them through His Word. I hope some of those people are in heaven. Wouldn't it surprise me? Actually, we have a God who's able to do more than we can imagine. Isn't it wonderful? There were people there that day. Maybe the only time in their life. But they heard God speak to them. You know something for all of us? We have immense privilege tonight. Because I don't think there's anybody here that's only heard the Word of God spoken once. The reality of the matter is that we've heard it over and over and over again. And I tell you, there is great responsibility that comes with that. Because this is what our text says. He that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me hath everlasting life. I hope none of you here will despise the fact that God is speaking to you. And in His grace, He speaks again and again and again. I hope that you will listen to Him. I want to talk about the second thing in this little text, and it's very important. Because it is not merely that people hear His word, God is speaking. But God expects a response to His word. I love to tell this story about my kids. But when Debbie and I got married, you know, we had, you know how much experience you have raising kids? How much experience did you have when you had kids? None. And so, you know, I'm coming home from the hospital with this beautiful little blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl in my hand, and I'm saying to the Lord, what do I do with this, you know? I mean, I zero experience. One of the things that my wife and I did, you can laugh at this if you like, but we decided to kind of watch other people and see how they handled things. And maybe we could learn some lessons from what they did and repeat the good things and maybe try to avoid some of the negative things. I remember one day we were in a grocery store. My wife was pregnant, and there was a lady up ahead of us. And she had a little boy. I don't know. I'm going to call him Johnny. I don't remember anymore. And this dear lady, she's pushing her grocery cart filled with groceries. The one wheel's doing this because they always do. And but the little boy was about 10 feet out ahead. And you really couldn't see him. You could just hear it knocking stuff on the ground. And he was just a little demon is what he was. Like a little Tasmanian devil. He was just spinning around. And the part that we noticed was the mom. And God bless her, but, you know, she's, you know, Johnny, 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 Johnny. And Johnny didn't slow down. Johnny didn't hear her. I don't think. He didn't appear to be hearing impaired. Johnny was just doing his thing. And what Mom had to say had very little bearing on what Johnny wanted to do. So Johnny just kept right on moving. You know, Deb and I, this is a true story. We talked about it on the way home. We said, you know, when we speak to our kids, we need to require a response. Now, I hope you know me well enough to know. I mean, we didn't expect to have our kids click their heels or salute us when we spoke to them. But I will tell you a little secret about the Shutt household, that when mom or dad spoke, somebody had better respond. They better say what? They better turn their head and look at you. Because when older people speak, or when an adult or a person in authority speaks, you need to respond. Let me just tell you, and I'm sure maybe your parents or your grandparents expect that same sort of thing. I can tell you that policemen expect that, and school teachers expect that, and let me just tell you this, God expects that too. You see, God is not just talking to hear himself talk. God is talking because he has something he wants us to hear, and God wants us to respond to his word.
Just last year, I was out on the west coast of the United States in the state of Washington. That's about 2,000 miles from here. And I got up really early one morning and I went down to the Pacific Ocean. And there's a place there. It's a very beautiful place. I just went down there just for some peace and quiet. And there's a big dock down there. And I just went down there and just watched the sun come up. And you know, it was really pretty down there. I know on the Pacific side, you don't see the sun coming up in front of you, but you still see the sun come up. And I stood there for a long time, just watching the birds and the fish and everything around me. And I noticed that there was only one other person on the dock. Way down at the other end was an elderly Asian man. And he was standing there doing the same thing I was, just looking out over the ocean and just kind of being quiet and peaceful. So I thought, you know what I ought to do? There's just the two of us here. I probably ought to go down and say hi to him. So I went down. And I introduced myself to him, and I shook hands with him. And he told me his name. His name was Mr. Shin. Mr. Shin had come from South Korea many years ago to the United States. And as I began talking to him, it turned out that he knew something about Christianity. And I wasn't just sure, so I finally just asked him right straight out, Mr. Shin, do you know anything about the Bible? I find that to be a useful question. He kind of dropped his head a little bit. I wasn't sure what was happening. He said, yes, I do. He said, my dad actually was an evangelist. Really? I said, Sir Mr. Shin, if your father was an evangelist and he was saved, right? Yes, he was saved. My mother too. I said, Sir Mr. Shin, I just met you, but do you mind if I ask you a question? I said, where does that leave you? He said, I'm sorry to tell you, but he said, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. What do you say at that point? Well, sometimes God gives you things to say. So I said to him, I said, how does a person who grows up knowing the Bible, with parents who are believers in the Lord Jesus, how do you go from there to being an atheist? He said, I'll just tell you a little about my life. He said, I had a son, one son. He was the pride and joy of my life. And late in his teens, he developed an incurable disease. And he died. I started to say something. And he said, no, that's not all of it. He said, my wife, while she was in her 30s, developed incurable cancer and She died.
And I was left in this world alone. And he said, if there is a God who cares, and if there is a God who loves people, he said, how could this ever have happened to me? Do you want my job? In moments like that, you can have it. Because I struggle to know just where to start. So I'll tell you what I did. I said, Mr. Shannon, I can't answer these imponderable questions that you're asking. But I said, do you remember any verses from the Bible? He said, well, I might. So I started quoting verses from the New Testament. I'm going to tell you this is the truth. Absolute truth. I would get about three words out of my mouth. And he would finish the verse. And I know a lot of verses. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling the truth. And he knew all. And he knew how to finish all of them. Let's just step away from the story just for a minute. I want to talk to you right now. His problem was not that he had not heard God speak. His problem was that he had never responded by depending on God's word. He was full of the Bible from top to bottom. I was actually worried that he knew more about the Bible than I did. But you know something? He was not a believer. And his sins were not forgiven. And he was not on his way to heaven because he had never responded to God's word. I'll tell you, just because I want to finish the story, how the conversation ended. I said to him, Mr. Shin, if God ever spoke to you again, would you be willing to listen to him? He said, I would love for God to speak to me. And I still pray for Mr. Shin. I don't know where he is. I'd like to think that God is still speaking to him. And I'd like to think that God someday is going to save that dear man. But here's the thing. It's not simply knowing the Bible. It's not simply knowing the facts of Christianity. God expects a response to his word. He wants us to depend on what he says. You know, back home in Detroit, in the gospel hall that I go to, there's a big platform just like this one. And sometimes when I get preaching hard, you know, sometimes I stamp my feet and, you know, really put my weight into what I'm doing. You know something? I never worry about that platform collapsing. There's a baptistry under it and a lot of things, you know. But I never worry about it. You know why? Because I'm the one who built it. I know the guy that built it. And I have confidence. I'm not being cocky. I'm just saying I have confidence in my skills that that platform is going to support me. I know the man who did it. And therefore, I can trust the work that has been done. Well, when it comes to salvation, I'm not trusting myself. I hope you know that. But Mr. Sharp has been telling you about a God who cannot lie, who is totally trustworthy. 81 years with your father? I only had my father for 67 years. And I can say exactly what Gary said. When my dad said something, he meant it. He could have lied. But in all the years I knew him, he never lied to me. And I never heard him tell a lie. He was a man who was dependable and trustworthy, and if he said it, you can bank on it. I'm glad I had a dad like that too. I want to tell you something. I have a God that you can depend on. A God who cannot lie. A God who can be utterly dependent on. I hope this analogy works for you. He's a God that you can put your full weight on. You don't have to have one foot on your ideas and one foot on God. You can trust God completely. Listen to what he says. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Does he mean it? I tell you he means it. And people who respond by depending on what he says, they have everlasting life. Well, that's the end. That's my third point. I'm just going to finish right on time. What's the first word? God speaks and he wants us to listen. He that heareth my word. And believeth God that sent me. In other words, he wants us to give him credit for telling the truth. He wants us to depend completely on what he says. But you know, this verse ends with a promise that I just dearly love. It says, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hopes to have everlasting life. Is that what That's not what it says. It says they have everlasting life. I live in a little town near Detroit, about 30 miles from Detroit. And in the center of town, well, not in the center, but on the north side of town, is the highest point in Wayne County. And there's a water tower there and some other things. And if you go up there on a nice, clear night, you stand on top of that hill, you can look all the way over to the city of Detroit. And you can see the Ambassador Bridge. But the thing that you see most of all is you see the lights of all the casinos. The lights of the casinos on the Detroit side, and the lights of the casinos on the Windsor side. And it irritates me massively that when I go up there, that's all I see are the lights from the casinos. Why does that irritate me? Well, because there's a lot of people that go into the casinos hoping for something. They hope that their dollar bill is going to make $1 million. And they hope that their financial distress is going to be relieved. They hope that by going to the casino, they'll have a great time and somehow they'll be more fulfilled. You know what the problem is? Their hopes are always ultimately dashed. If they win $1 million, they just waste it by trying to win $1 million more. So, you know what? At the end of the day, they hope to have a lot of things, but they come away with less than they started with. Let me tell you that the person who comes to the Lord Jesus always goes away with more than what he started with. You know, that's a wonderful thing. There's a hymn that we sing, "I came to Jesus as I was, weary and sick and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad." Nobody that's ever trusted the Lord Jesus has been disappointed. Never once. I was at the Billy Graham Museum here a while back with a good friend of mine. And they had some big televisions up on the wall from the 1940s. I don't remember the 1940s, thankfully. But that's a long time ago. Black and white television. And in those days, Billy Graham could preach the gospel. I'll tell you what, I wish I preached like that. I was walking by one of those TV sets. I heard something. I just wept. I couldn't help myself. This is what he said. He said, "A person who trusts Christ never regrets it for a single moment." I'll tell you, I can preach that the rest of my life. A person who trusts Christ never regrets it for a single moment. You know why? Because they have everlasting life. This world has lots of promises. Lots of hopes and dreams and wishes and aspirations. I want to tell you what God wants to give you is something that you can have and have eternally. "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Listen to the words of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me has everlasting life." We're not here to hand out money. There's a lot of things that we can't give you. In fact, we can't give you anything except the good news of the great gift that God wants to give you. And tonight, God wants you to have that gift. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So can you remember the three words? Right? Hearing. God's talking and he wants you to listen. And believing. He wants you to respond to what he says. And he wants you to trust him. And last of all, this great word happened. People who receive Christ have everlasting life. Let's pray.
Our Father, we give thanks for the gospel and the privilege of preaching it again. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus, the one who can be so fully trusted.